Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
The dance has started, but Cinderella's not here yet.
Young Cinderella. He's a Cinderella boy.
Cinderella boy, Cinderella girl. Cinderella's gender can be fluid. She has not really appeared yet. The only real upset we have in this tournament so far is that Minnesota beat Louisville, which has got to feel good for the Patino family. But outside of that, we are not getting upset city. We've come close. We've had a few shots go airball that might have told a different story. But here we are deep into the first day of the NCAA tournament. And even though we haven't had Cinderella dance, it is good to see us dancing again. Welcome to the Damon Bruce Show. Welcome back to Matt Kolsky. It's great to have him in once again today. Matt, you're here. We got the Warriors coming home. We have Ichiro Appreciation Day here on 95.7 The Game as well. I mean, we have to. He officially is hanging it up. Took his last at-bat. Got a great curtain call in Japan. Well, pretty much everybody here was sleeping.
That's right. Dragged actual real regular season games to Japan just for this, and you know what? He deserved it.
It's rare where I agree with so much nonsense.
Right. It's a lot of nonsense.
And look, this didn't do a lick of favor to the Oakland A's. It was probably something they should have said no to, but it was a good scene. And if you appreciate Ichiro Suzuki, today's a day where you're allowed to do that on the air. I mean, I remember being in Bristol, Connecticut, working at ESPN the year that he was making his major league debut. His rookie year in the majors was in 2001. I had moved back to the East Coast to work at ESPN, where obviously, you know, people really care about sports. And I remember the topic du jour. I mean, with just no even hesitant to say things, you know, that are now clearly like based in just racial profiling. No real. But I mean, there were show after show after show where hosts that you respect were like, a Japanese player will never make it as an everyday player in Major League Baseball, maybe a pitcher, but as an everyday player, like, no. And they would say things like, too frail, too small, like the excuses that used to prevent women from running marathons, like their bodies can't handle it. Too tiny, too Japanese, couldn't do it. I mean, things that right now, that if you said them on the air, you would be fired instantly. It was commonplace to think that back then. And these debates raged and raged and raged. And now that the official book is in, after an 18, 19 year long major league career, guess what, Matt? He could play.
Oh, he
was,
could play.
He was pretty good after all.
He, I think, was worth going after all along. And you know what's interesting? I hadn't thought too much about this until you just started that thing you just said. And it's LeBron, to me, is the other great example of this, where we heard the hype. We hadn't really seen that much, but he's on, you know, LeBron's on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a 16-year-old. And you know what, doggone it, he's gone ahead and lived right on up to all of that, if not exceeded it. And Ichiro, there's not a lot of examples of foreign baseball player, pick your country, who we heard a ton about and then fully came and lived up to all of that. Even a guy like Matsui, who was good, I'm not sure he wasn't Godzilla, right? I mean, you can go through Hideo Nomo. There have been great foreign baseball players, but I'm not sure anyone where it was like, he's the best, and then he came over And you know what? Doggone it, he is the best.
Yeah, this guy, he wasn't the best because over there isn't as good as here. He showed up here and was among the best to have ever done it here. And considering his rookie year was at age 27,
yeah,
I mean, it really is amazing what he went on to do in this game, in this league, and what he did, like, planetarily for the game of baseball. I mean, is there a more recognizable baseball player in the world? How about the fact that he's one of the very few Japanese faces in a sea of unrecognizable baseball faces? I think that Ichiro was as recognizable a player as we've ever had here playing baseball in America. And then if you want to attach the rest of the globe to it, he probably laps everybody.
How about this?
That has ever played.
Until early this morning, Ichiro was the most recognizable athlete playing Major League Baseball right now, don't you think?
Probably. Look at it this way. It ain't Mike Trout.
No.
I know that.
And I would bet Ichiro's Q rating is higher than Bryce Harper.
I wouldn't place a bet against it.
Yeah.
888-957-9570. It is really good to be with you here today. Obviously, the Warriors are back at home. It's going to be their first home game since that real lackluster game against the Phoenix Suns, that embarrassing loss, which had Kevin Durant doing a little soul-searching, said the entire team did a little soul-searching about that. It was a good loss in that effect, and they've been playing some really good basketball. They're back tonight. Obviously, there was a little talk about the crowd responding, and Klay Thompson called out the fans a little bit. Look, no one's going to turn on Klay Thompson. No one's ever going to boo him. But it's time. I mean, it's time for the team to show up. It's time for the fans to show up. Everyone needs to be working in harmony to make Oracle Arena the most special place it can be in the seven remaining games it has in the NBA regular season. The final seven games at Oracle. The three-game homestand that we're on is going to leave us with four, if you don't mind me doing a little math for you there. We were going to have Steph Curry join us today. Unfortunately, the Warriors had to cancel that appearance with a promise that we will get to make good very soon, possibly as early as tomorrow. We certainly hope so. We're looking forward to that. It's too bad he cannot join us today. Who can join us today is Jim Barnett, who will do so at 4 o'clock. Rich Aurelia also coming by at 4 o'clock today. Why Richie? Well, it's always nice to have a little spring training check-in. I know that he was down in Scottsdale, but more of a reason why Richie today, guess who played with Ichiro? That's right. Rich Aurelia played the game with Ichiro when he was with the Mariners, and he was playing with Ichiro as Ichiro was coming into the peak of his major league powers, putting up a 370 season, knocking out the major league single season hits record. He was there for the best of it, and this is a guy. Like, Aurelia shared the clubhouse with some real baseball royalty. Bonds, obviously. He was with Ken Griffey Jr. in Cincinnati, and he was with Ichiro. And so we'll do a little comparing and contrasting of the star power that he used to share a clubhouse with. We're going to go back and do a little walk down memory lane when it comes to not just March Madness, but how some current Golden State Warriors performed in March Madness. And I thought today, Matt, since we had an incredibly abbreviated Tuesday show, and I didn't get to do a Tuesday trifecta. We rebranded it. A full-on rebranding. We're going to do a little tournament trifecta, since it is NCAA tournament time.
It's a make-good, just like Steph Curry's going to have. We're making good on the Tuesday trifecta with a tournament trifecta.
Ding, ding, ding. Correct, correct. 888-957-9570. Ichiro Suzuki. Ichiro Appreciation Day. I got a list of 20 things you don't know about him, and I was going pretty much through to highlight what was good. If I can take this list from 20 down to 10, I can only take it to about down to about 17 because there's so many amazing things that happened here. Maybe none more amazing than just this simple, you know, circumstance. Do you realize that Ichiro Suzuki's first ever career major league game came back in 2001. It was against the A's, and the Mariners beat the A's 5-4. You fast forward to this morning in Japan, 2019. Ichiro's final career major league game is a 5-4 win for the Mariners over the Oakland A's. So that is full circle. They would say time is a flat circle. And now is time for you to pay a little attention and appreciation to a guy who I think Matt, I'm going to call him a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Has to be.
Has to be.
Has to be.
Has to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. That is pretty much who he is. We got our eye on the tournament. We'll let you know where the upsets are. I did tell you to fade the public. 90% of America was on Northeastern as of betting time yesterday. Right now, Kansas is leading Northeastern 72-42 by 30. So I think they pretty much are going to survive in advance that one.
Wasn't the spread like 7?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, people.
Kansas in a waltz. 888-957-9570 is the number. Ichiro appreciation, love for the tournament, spring training's around the corner, and what do you know? Another major leaguer has signed a huge extension before he's even taken a real regular season at bat with his brand new club, and we'll tell you who that is too. Right now, the one and only Gianfranco. Now, before anybody's got any Phil Collins jokes to tell, I'm just going to say right now, if you were standing on the sidewalk and Phil Collins was on a balcony above you and he accidentally dropped all of his hits, you would be buried under the weight of platinum records.
No doubt.
You would die smothered under all those hits. Phil Collins coming to Chase Center. Okay.
If you can't enjoy Susudio, that's on you, man.
Oh. Yeah, seriously.
I'm on board with this one for sure. I'm looking forward to it.
It's the first concert I ever went to in high school.
Really?
I swear to God,
oh,
it was.
Look at that.
Phil Collins. And I'm going to tell you right now, unless he's changed the entire formula, he's going to encore with Take Me Home Tonight. Guy's got hits.
A ton of hits. Like when I heard this announcement, I just kept thinking and singing all kinds of Phil Collins songs all day long. So,
you
ain't dead yet.
You add Genesis to the repertoire.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Great drummer, too. In the
what
band.
A career.
Yeah,
Phil Collins coming to Chase Center. The WWE, it's probably the first time that both Phil Collins and professional wrestling were ever announced on the same bill. But, yeah, that's happening today.
Yeah.
Probably different dates. They're not going to share.
Not the same dates. I believe Phil Collins is October 17th, which is what it's my anniversary with Pete, so I think we're going.
Oh, man.
But yeah, Becky Lynch was in studio, and Matt and I got to chat with her. And WWE Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live coming this fall. That's going to be pretty. And Falcon is a huge WWE fan.
And
so,
now certainly one of hers, since she taped this little special message.
She hooked it up. So yeah, all you wrestling fans, that's coming this fall to Chase. So that should be fun.
Well, she was obviously a pepper pot. Good things come in small packages. And that brings us back to this guy.
Ground ball, base hit in the right field. Heading for third is Terrence Long. The throw by Ichiro. Beautiful. Peggy got him. Holy smoke, a laser beam strike from Ichiro to the third baseman, David Bell, and Terrence Long is gunned down at third base. What a throw, two outs.
He throws a laser low to the ground about 6 feet off. Is that a strike? If you can call that as an umpire, that's right down the middle strike, baby.
Talk about outfield assists of my lifetime. Myriad of all now blurred together due to the aging process. Memories of Andre Dawson just gunning dudes from right field in Wrigley. Obviously, what Cespedes did in Anaheim, what just last year Liriano did also in Anaheim, that's one of the greatest throws I've ever seen. But with my own two eyes, I saw all that on television. I was there the day Terrence Long got hosed at third because Ichiro decided to put a lawn dart on him, and it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen happen.
How high
in a baseball stadium?
What do you think the highest it got off the ground was?
His eyes.
It was unbelievable.
It never went above his eyebrows. It was just a laser beam. Ichiro Suzuki, would you go as far as to say that he is the most recognizable face in baseball? And did baseball lose that today with his retirement? And like I said, we're just appreciating the Hall of Fame career that I remember at the dawn of it. People were saying it's not going to work out. And they were basically saying that because they had never seen anything like him before. And I guess this goes to, you know, this is why representation matters in life. This is truly why representation matters in life. You probably didn't have a generation of Japanese-American kids growing up in love with the concept of baseball, and I'm sure that Ichiro allowed that seed to be planted in child after child after child. Being able to see someone who looks like you, talks like you, acts like you is a powerful thing.
It's twofold. It's what you just said. It's people having role models that look like them. And then it's also, if you'll excuse my generalization, idiots learning that not all people who look a certain way are a certain thing, right? So hopefully he's an example to people like him to grow up and say, hey, I can go be a baseball star if I want. And he's an example to people who said, well, Japanese baseball players will never make it here in America. Bah, too frail. Bah. He's also an example to them that, hey, guess what? Experience is the best teacher. Turns out other people can do this thing.
By the way, if you can also put up 3,089 career major league hits, you can stick around for a while, too. This is Isaiah in Fremont. Isaiah, welcome to Ichiro Appreciation Day here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Damon. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I think Ichiro is a transcendent player, and I got a couple of questions I just want to ask you. Number one, where would you rank Ichiro? Would you put him in the top five of...
Well, your phone cut timing. Out when you were saying the top five of what?
The top five of greatest international athletes.
Well, you know, I'd really want to take a look at the list before I started picking my five, but I have to say that due to his success in the league that was supposed to chew and spit him out, it'd be really hard to leave Ichiro off that list, just not even really thinking about it. He feels like an easy fit, and now we're looking for four other people.
Off the top of my head, especially if we restrict it to team sports,
yeah,
then I think he probably is on that Mount Rushmore.
Well, it's got to be him.
It's Dirk.
It's got to be Dirk. It's got to be Yao Ming. It's got to be Roberto Clemente.
Yep.
I don't know. Am I making too much romance out of Fernando Valenzuela and Fernando Mania? And now I'm only thinking of the major sports and the lesson that we learned when we saw that ESPN biggest 100 athletes in the world was
cricket, 10%
of that list was cricket. So I am probably the wrong person to answer this question, but
if we go international athletes in major American team sports, does Wayne Gretzky count?
Technically, he should.
Because if he counts, he's number one with a bullet.
Does Pele count?
The Cosmos, does that count as an American team? Maybe. We can fudge him in, perhaps.
Look, just without thinking about it, Ichiro, Dirk, Yao, Clemente. You could go Manny Pacquiao for a moment there.
Certainly.
For a minute. He was about as big of a name and draw that there was in sports, any sport. If we
went into like tennis and golf, there'd be some guys probably.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Bjorn Borg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For a minute there. Come on. Martina Navratilova.
Someone mentioned Tim Duncan on the text line and technically U.S. Virgin Islands.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
That is correct. 888-957-9570. You want to throw a name on the pile? You're welcome to do so today. This is Mike in San Jose. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking the call, Damon. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just kind of have to disagree with you as the most recognizable face in baseball. I would go with Derek Jeter. I would go with Barry Bonds before Ichiro. I'm not taking anything away from Ichiro. The guy was a great, great player.
Right. Well, I mean, those guys had retired before, you know,
today.
Yeah. I think
I get that, but what I'm saying is Ichiro could walk down the street, some main street in Colorado, no one would know who the hell he was.
Derek
Jeter walks down the same street, he's going to get mugged. Barry Bonds, same thing.
I look at it this way. I would say if the street that you're talking about walking down was anywhere near Coors Field, Ichiro would be as recognizable, I think, as Derek Jeter almost. Barry Bonds is like in a different level. I mean, that's just a different level of fame.
Although baseball
that's
fans,
infamy. That borders on infamy.
But a baseball fan might walk by him and go, nah, too skinny.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
That looked like Barry, but nah.
Ichiro, you might not stop to look. But, yeah, I do think that that guy would be recognized. How about this? Especially if he were wearing a baseball hat.
Definitely. The sunglasses.
What's really funny, man, the very first time the Giants were ever introducing Zito. Again, I'd seen Zito my entire life. I've been watching him pitch for the A's for years, right? And there they are. It's Scott Boras. It's Barry Zito, Larry Bear, Brian Sabian. They're all on the dais. And I'm like, where's Zito? Because I just noticed there's this kind of like handsome guy with a lot of hair also sitting. I'm like, where's Zito? And then he puts the hat on and his face is finally framed by a major league brim. And it was just like, oh, there's Barry Zito.
There are some dudes who are especially like that for whatever reason. Like some guys basically look the same in a hat or not. Other guys, you're like, who in the... Oh, with the hat? Yeah, no, I definitely know who that is.
888-957-9570. Chase is in Danville. Chase.
Hey, guys. What's going on? You mentioned the naysayers with regards to Ichiro, and I'm surprised this isn't brought up more often, but do you remember Rob Dibble and his declaration that if Ichiro were to win the batting title, he would tattoo his ass with Ichiro's number?
Yes.
Well, you know what? It's there.
It is. Rob Dibble paid that bet. I was actually working at ESPN when all of that happened. He paid that debt. I also saw him get a Ohio State Buckeyes tattoo when they beat the Miami Hurricanes in the national championship game because of the no call in the end zone. And Willis McGahee had the broken leg. That guy got the a Bay lot Area of lost zone, the bet tattoos.
The Bay Area's own Ken Dorsey.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Better in college than he was a pro. That happens a lot. But I do remember that. I was working there at the time. And I'll tell you, man, the doubt in Ichiro, none of it was based in statistical reasoning. The doubt in Ichiro was, I think, absolutely, it walked hand in hand with just the way America behaved and discussed things at the time. It was different. It really was. I mean, there was a time where just, I don't want to call it racism, but just cultural ignorance was so the norm that it wasn't questioned. And your cultural ignorance was not even perceived as, well, that's probably a racist way to look at it. It was just seen as, well, you know, we never have seen a guy who's Japanese get four at-bats in Major League Baseball, and it's never going to happen. It's like, it's literally the exact same stuff they said about Jackie Robinson. And then this happens, but it was so common to do an entire show just saying, this guy's not going to make it. What the hell are the Mariners thinking? You can't translate that. Like, you know, at best, Japanese pitchers are single A level pitchers. And what's funny is that there had been tons of examples of completely vetted American talent that had gone over to Japan. Yep. No one hit 500. Nope. No one hit 450. No one hit as many jacks as Sarah O.
I'm not sure anybody was as good as Ichiro was in Major League Baseball. We never sent an American over to dominate the Japanese League like Ichiro dominated in his first year. Let me read you the stat line.
We never sent anyone in their prime. No one in their prime went that way.
So, I'm just saying.
But you're right.
Here's what he did. Year one. This is remarkable. I'm just going to read an order on Baseball Reference. 127 runs scored, 242 hits,
oh, is that
34
all?
Doubles, 8 triples, 8 homers, which not bad for a slap hitter, 69 RBIs, 56 stolen bases, 53 strikeouts.
It's incredible.
350 hitter, MVP, All-Star Rookie of the Year.
Only player to ever take all three in his rookie season, Fred Lynn. Is the only other guy who was AL MVP and Rookie of the Year in the same year. Not an All-Star, though, I guess, that year. So Ichiro was 3,089 career Major League hits, 22nd all-time on the list. He's a career 311 batting average. That gives him the 13th highest among the 32 players in the 3,000-hit club. Ichiro reached 3,000 hits in 10,333 plate appearances. That is about 2,400 games, which is 13th all-time, and he's the 14th quickest to do so in terms of plate appearances. You look at the fact that he racked up over 1,200 hits in 9 seasons in the Japan Pacific League before he came to the majors. This guy career lifetime professional major league hits. Or not major, pardon me. Let me just take major league out of that. Career professional hits. Japan and Major League Baseball. 4,367 hits, which is 111 more than Pete Rose. I mean, the fact that Pete did all of that at the major league level is extraordinary. But Ichiro, you know, crossed an ocean at the age of 27 and was unbelievable. He was the first Japanese position player in baseball, Major League Baseball history. He went on to lead the majors in hits, stolen bases, and like you said, the leadoff hitter set a Seattle club record with, that's the Seattle team that won 116 games.
118, right?
116.
Okay.
116 is the magic number. Ichiro, like you said, won the batting title, the Rookie of the Year, and the AL MVP. That's right. Fred Lynn didn't also have the batting title.
Right.
He was an all-star. Since both leagues adopted a 162-game schedule back in 1962, Ichiro compiled the top two single-season hit totals, three of the top six, and five of the top 18.
The hit statistics with Ichiro look like three-point shooting with Steph Curry.
Right.
It's just a bunch of Ichiro years.
Right. It's everyone that ever played,
yeah.
And there's a gargantuan gap, and then there's this guy.
Yeah. It's really, truly remarkable, and someone pointed out on the text line, even he was a fashion statement with the big wristbands and the sunglasses. Like, kids were rocking that stuff.
The pose that he would strike before he settled
into
his
at-bat.
And I mean, again, is this culturally insensitive? I never thought so. I thought he held it out there like a samurai sword, like it really did. It looked like a weapon as he was about to wield.
He was awesome to watch.
Truly was. And he had flair. You're right. It wasn't unpleasant to watch. It was actually gorgeous. There was poetry in the guy's game. How about this? Only once in his entire career did he finish a game with a career batting average below 300. He took an 0-for-4 in his second ever major league game, making him 2-for-9. He was 222 overall. The very next day, he went 2-for-4 in the next game. He never looked back. He had one day of his career below 300 batting average.
One day of his first 10 years.
Yes.
It's remarkable. That 10-year stretch, I just pulled it up on Baseball Reference. 2001 to 2010, the first 10 years of Ichiro Suzuki. His average season, he's hitting .331, 224 hits, 105 runs scored, 38 steals, and only 68 strikeouts. Like, all he ever did was get on base, steal bases, and score runs. That's all he did. And then play tremendous defense.
Just contact, contact, contact.
And by the way, a gold glove every single one of those 10 first years.
10-time All-Star, no Midsummer Classic moment ever happened, though, without Ichiro. He is the first to ever have an inside-the-park home run, and he did it in San Francisco. By the way, he has more career hits against the A's than any other franchise. He has more career hits at the Oakland Coliseum than he does in any other ballpark that he never called home. So Ichiro loved coming to the Bay. He won the All-Star Game MVP in 2007 at AT&T, formerly known as AT&T Park. And obviously, he just absolutely raked when he was at the Coliseum. He hit .329 against lefties, believe it or not, and .304 against righties. So there goes your whole lefty-righty matchup. I guess it didn't really matter to him. Really, just a phenomenal player. And I did see this from a guy named Greg Brady, who is not the oldest of Mike Brady's kids, but he is a talk show host in Toronto. I know a lot of you are going to say, Damon, you're such a hater. Dude, this isn't from me. This isn't even from a dude who's in the country. This comes from a guy who's a baseball fan in Toronto and a talk show host. And he said today, you know, I get it was very touching and an orchestrated moment for Ichiro in Japan, seemingly planned out 13 months ago. But if you're the A's, man, did you get used in this process? You got ridiculous 2:30 a.m. local start times, an 0-2 record to show for it, and now three more pretend games before it really matters again. No credible major league team makes this decision. There's no way the Minnesota Twins would have agreed. I don't know what the hell.
You know what, though? Didn't they do this with someone else a couple years ago? Maybe the A's too then, actually.
It was the A's. It's always the A's.
2012.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with more spring training afterwards, right?
Yes.
I don't understand why they have to make these games count. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Or why do you need three more games of spring training?
Or that, but just like you could instruct the teams, if you're Major League Baseball, behind the scenes, listen, play your guys, because these are international fans. We want to show them our best face, although in that case you probably wouldn't send the Mariners and A's, but whatever. We want to show them your best players. The A's have a ton of young, exciting talent. You could do that without making them real games, and it really does, it screws the A's.
It does.
A finger right in the eye.
It does. This is Chris in San Jose. What's up, Chris?
Hey, first-time caller. Just moved into the Bay Area from Canada. I overheard you guys say that about Wayne Gretzky being, you know, like one of the top five.
Technically international.
Yeah. Well, I don't see it as international because it's a Canada-U.S. league.
That's true.
So Canadians playing in Canada is not an international player, right? Now, he's known all over the world, you know, for the Olympics and everything like that. So I get it. The one I think you're missing is Conor McGregor. I think he's known around the world for MMA. And my last point is Tim Duncan is a U.S. citizen, not an international.
Hey, Chris. Very good call. Good point that you brought up. And the fact that the NHL is an American league probably cancels out the international origin of right. Wayne Gretzky for the sake of our conversation. Yeah. Now that, Chris, you're in San Jose, are you going to take the San Jose Sharks into your Canadian heart?
I can't yet. I was 20 years in Vancouver. I'm going to be a Canucks fan for a long time.
Fair enough. But I've
been to games. I've been to about five games already. So
nice.
It's always in the blood. It's a religion.
I like to hear that. Chris, thank you very much. I'm glad that you're considering a Sharks bandwagon. After all, it is in your backyard. And again, the argument that I would make is simply, you can't have more fun in hockey than whenever you're on the pike, whenever you're on the ice, you should be looking for it's a good time.
I can't believe we forgot him in all-time
international athletes. Yes, there is only one Jonas. 888-957-9570 is the number. Real quick, this is Matt Castro Valley. What do you got, Matt?
Well, I was just going to say I really enjoy the conversation about Ichiro. I lived in Japan and followed baseball. I happen to be aware of a writer, Robert Whiting.
Matt, you got to turn the radio off behind you. You turn that all the way down because I'm just hearing Donskoy. I love it. I love that you're listening. Yeah, but just talk to us. Now, okay, go ahead.
I love the fact that you don't want to hear Donskoy right now. Ichiro had a biopsy. Written by Robert Whiting, who's very famous for writing about different players.
Biography.
Warren Cromartie's
biography.
Thank you.
That's fine.
He happened to discuss how Ichiro achieved all these things, and if he, in fact, had played his entire career in the Major League Baseball, which isn't allowed in Japan, obviously, because they have those contracts with it. Before they can come over to the United States and play in Major League Baseball. Ichiro always had that as design interest, but they didn't allow it.
Right.
And so he couldn't actually compete with the Roses title.
Right. No, they had to change their mind about him. They had to decide, all right, we cannot just keep this as a domestic product. We have to start shipping it internationally, and we need to use him to grow the game, almost like hockey brought Wayne Gretzky to Los Angeles to grow the game. Like, sure, he could have stayed in Edmonton forever and been a legend, but the NHL wouldn't be in a city near you. Like, if there isn't a Gretzky Los Angeles King era, the San Jose Sharks probably do not exist.
I don't even know if the LA Kings would exist anymore.
You might be right.
Someone in that vein mentioned on the text line David Beckham, who came over and in many ways legitimized an MLS that was not a legitimate international league at that point. And since then, it has really picked up.
Well, and as America turned its attention to soccer in a way in the last 15 years that it did not before, I mean, I think you'd have to say that he's chief among the most popular players and reasons as it happened, and then you got all the other people in soccer that I really don't want to talk about because I hate soccer. Anyway, here we go. We do have Jim Barnett coming up at 4 o'clock. If you want a little Warriors, we got a lot of Warriors coming up with Jim Barnett. And we do have some sad news about Kevin Durant that I think we should share with everyone when we come on back here. But Jim is going to be joining us courtesy of Fremont Bank, full-service banking. No compromises. He's at 4 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Jim Barnett talking a little Warriors hoops. They're back at home taking on the Indiana Pacers tonight at Oracle Arena. Don't know what the status is on Kevin Durant. Sad, sad news today that Kevin Durant had a person in his life that was as close as he was described as an adopted brother killed by gunfire. And he learned about that today. The story in the news broke right when the show started today. And very, very sad. You know, like a brother, actual brother, doesn't matter. Someone that Kevin Durant cared deeply about was killed today. And I don't know what that does to the status of him tonight, if it affects it at all. I might be presuming too much. Elena just said in my ear, he's playing.
Oh, he is.
Well, he's going to be playing with a heavy heart, that's for sure. And so that is a very, very sad thing. By the way, also in terms of Kevin Durant news, in much less serious news, Chris Bosh was on the Tom Haberstroh podcast, or at least sitting down and doing a back and forth. And Chris Bosh explained that it's the Miami Heat to blame for Kevin Durant joining the Warriors. He said that in the summer of 2016, Durant chose to sign with the Warriors in free agency, and he believes that he left Oklahoma City, that he doesn't leave Oklahoma City if the Big Three doesn't unite in South Beach. When asked, Bosh said no. That put pressure on him. I think it's kind of like a catch-22 that the modern athlete has been put in. There's so much emphasis on championships, right? And now guys are like, okay, I'm going to position myself to win a championship. And that's when people don't like it. And for KD specifically, many people still won't give him full credit that he deserves since he jumped on a team that was having so much success to begin with before he even arrived. And I'm sure Chris Bosh wants to think that his team, you know, changed the way things happen. Well, Chris, you're actually giving your team way too much credit. It was a player on your team that changed the norm, but it wasn't your team. It was LeBron's decision. LeBron's decision restacked the deck in terms of what mattered to modern athletes chasing their own concept of legacy, historical value. Everything changed. It used to be a straight-up count the rings. Everything else is superfluous. Count the rings. Then counting the rings wasn't that important because the guy with the most rings isn't on the top of anybody's list. So it's got to be more than that. You got to have some real scoring ability. You got to have a cool factor to you. And that's what Michael Jordan really ushered in. Getting yours while enjoying team success and becoming a brand that almost eclipses the brand that is the jersey you're wearing. Kevin Durant, I think, was wired to be the I'm going to stay right here and try and make it work guy. Everything in his career suggested that. And then, like, rules started changing. And I think that he did succumb to the pressure of you need that ring to be really taken seriously. And he looked around and just thought, all right, well, I got to go do that. And I'll be no one will remember how I did it. It's a ring count. So I got to go start counting rings and I got to do it now in my career. And not to bring it back to Mike Trout, but in a way, people do want it both ways.
Yes.
They want it both ways. You know, I'm sick and tired of everyone being a free agent going to a ring. So here's the one guy who stays with the team that, you know, isn't destined to win a ring maybe in his career. And people are like, well, Mike Trout's wasting a career in one place, even though we have a nobility attached to single team athlete that is, I know I've got it in my mind. It's probably unfair. You might not have it in yours, but I don't even like trading myself on a video game. You know what I mean? I like a career one uniform type of guy, but that's nonsense, old man romanticism.
I have very complicated thoughts on this, but a couple things jump to mind. Number one is something that a couple of texters just mentioned. I think it's the Celtics. And I think not only is that the first real example of the modern big three, Garnett, Pierce, and Allen, but I also think that was because of who Kevin Garnett was and the way his career had gone to that point. I think that was the thing that rings in the minds of LeBron, of KD, of maybe not Paul George, but of these guys who, of Anthony Davis. I really think it's the Kevin Garnett moment, because what happened there is Kevin Garnett is absolutely the loyalty guy you talked about. Nobody is a more loyal dude at heart than Kevin Garnett, to the point where he subjected himself to year after year of bad Minnesota teams. And
he wasn't making the playoffs.
He spoiled some of his prime playing for a team that refused to spend money to put talent around him and that shipped out the talent that did show up around him. And when he, and for years, if you remember, the story was all these teams are asking for Garnett, and he's saying, I don't want to go anywhere.
Right. He was waiting for them to land the next Stephon Marbury to be his running buddy, and that never happened.
And so when he finally relented and said, you know what, I guess at a certain point, if they're not loyal enough to put guys around me, what am I doing this for? I think that was sort of the turning point in this thing, that players said, you know, if I'm great, I can't sit around waiting for some old, rich butthead to come up with the right guys around me. I got to take my career in my own hands and make sure I put myself in a situation where I can succeed. And I think that's what LeBron did. That's what Kevin Durant did. And certainly in Durant's case, he gave his original club more than ample opportunity to surround him with the best. And in fact, they traded away a guy who's likely to be a back-to-back MVP.
Interesting times, no doubt about it. And fans want it both ways at all times. No matter what decision is made, people take the opposite approach. It feels like everyone, there are no advocates. There's only devil's advocates these days. it's like that. I got a person here on the Chilton Auto Body text line saying, Damon, Kevin Durant is hated so much, there are actually people on social media today taunting him, laughing at him because his close friend died. They're like, you got what you deserve.
Well, those are bad people.
Right.
Very.
Those people, you almost hope that something horrifically tragic befalls them soon so the karma police can kind of come for them. That is also, look, I know for a fact that America's probably right in not liking Louis C.K. now. Like, Louis C.K. took his green room privileges way too far, shall we say. But there were some things that he said before the downfall happened that still resonate as, well, that was really well put. He was on The Tonight Show one time, and he said, you know what ruined America? It really wasn't the internet, but it was how we started talking to each other on the internet. Like, when you were a little kid, if you wanted to pick, if you're little kid A and you want to pick on little kid B, the only way to do that was to physically walk up to little kid B and pick on him. And maybe while you were doing that, little kid B's face and actual emotions would convey a sense of wounded that would create a level of empathy within you.
If you're a human at all.
Right. You would realize that your words, your actions were incorrect by the visceral reaction of the person you were saying them to. And they don't have that anymore. You're screaming obscenities and profanity and horrific things into a dimly lit screen that never reacts bruised or wounded. If anything, you get feedback for being, oh, you're so snarky. You're such a killer. You're so edgy. And it's a sad state of where we are.
Yeah, I think
this is why Kevin Durant should get off all social media, by the way.
I tend to believe that social media, the internet in general, social media in particular, people are the problem. And social media just exacerbates the problem that is already human beings. Human beings have these instincts. Social media makes it easier to flex your worst instincts and not worry about any sort of consequences. So that's the problem there. But ultimately,
but the death of empathy is real.
It is. And if you're the sort of person that behaves that way, like, it's going to be hard for you to convince me that if Twitter didn't exist, you'd be a heck of a guy.
Oh, I agree with you there. Like, this just lets us detect quickly the level of total a-hole you are.
Exactly.
But this comes from someone who's a genuine a-hole to begin with.
That's right.
And what a sad, pathetic little life you must have if the only avenue of fun for you is diminishing the accomplishments of others. It's amazing.
It's really the best thing you can think as if you're Kevin Durant in that sort of situation. It's the one thing you can consistently fall back on, that the sort of person who engages in that sort of nonsense, they're much worse off.
By the way, Albie is tracking down Jim Barnett, who's going to be joining us as we start our 4 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.